98.7 FM. Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Murata.
It's going to be lit, is what I hear every single day. It's the greatest radio show ever.
Dan Bickley. Vince Murata.
It's the greatest show on earth.
Bickley and Murata.
This is the greatest show.
Good morning and welcome.
I love this show.
Me too.
It's the greatest radio show that's ever existed.
It really, really is.
In case you needed a refresher for the new version of the prolonged open.
Bickley and Murata.
I hate everything about this show. This is the worst show in the world.
Good morning, Valley sports fans. Happy Wednesday to everybody. Dan Bickley, Jared Carlin, and that's it.
That's all we need.
It really is. It's an embarrassment of riches, yes. Is what it is.
It's
Vince Murata.
It's half right. It's definitely an embarrassment.
Right. Well, It's certainly an embarrassment. Vince Murata still on vacation. Is Vinny coming back next week?
Yes, he's back Monday.
But
I'm going to be off for a few days next week.
Okay, are you off on Monday?
I am Monday, okay. Tuesday, Wednesday, but then
right.
I'll be back.
So, and then I'm going to be gone at the end of the week. So we are not as a
at the end of the month.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll have only a couple of days all as a full show. But
okay.
then all the sports are coming back in theory, and then be a wild.
Okay.
End to the year.
All right. I'm glad you brought that up. All the sports coming back in theory. Now, it's such a wonderful, beautiful thought. It's such a light at the end of the tunnel.
It's what we've been looking forward to during this entire stretch.
Right. So the theory has been that every sporting event that we have sacrificed along the way is going to come back to us at some point in the future, with a couple of different exceptions. But in the next 15 months... All right, next 15 months, we should see two Masters, two U.S. Opens, two PGA Champions, one Open Championship, the Ryder Cup, the Walker Cup, the Players Championship, and two FedEx Cup playoffs. And that's just in golf. That's just in golf.
A lot of big golfing moments, a lot of drafts coming up. Shane Doan, be ready.
No, but I'm bringing that up to show if that the golf calendar is like that. Imagine what it's going to be like with football, baseball, all the overlapping. It's going to happen. I really hope that is going to be the case.
I mean, in theory, this fall and winter is going to feature the championships for all four major sports.
Uh huh. Right.
Which is very unusual.
Yeah.
I mean, not unusual. Never happened before. So, we have gone through these 4 months and kept saying, like, there's nothing here. There's no sports. There's nothing going on. But, but just imagine what it's going to be like at the end of the year when we have everything going on. So I'm still holding out hope for all.
Here's
that.
What we have now, and this is the best way to put it. We have we have watched the NBA go through what they've gone through to get back on the court. And as of the end of tomorrow, I want to say, all the teams will be in the bubble in Disney. So they'll be there. And there's a lot to get into out of that coming up. Great images, once again, of the food they're eating that looks like glorified international tray meals served on airplanes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It does look like the old... Remember the old days when you used to get a meal... Air travel is so odd in that it's the only thing that has gotten worse as everything, technology and everything society has evolved.
Uh-huh.
Like in the old days, you used to get on a plane, people used to dress up nice. I mean, this is even maybe before my time, but I remember when you had a movie on a plane. I remember when you had food, a hot meal on a plane. Now a lot of these airlines, if you're lucky, you know, they throw a bag of peanuts at you when they walk by. If you're lucky.
No, listen. I know. You're right.
Take their shoes off. And
it's flying
sweatpants.
Has almost become subhuman, inhuman. Don't dig it at all. Really. I'm serious.
Well, now especially. I can't imagine the next time I'm going to feel comfortable to go on a plane.
Going on a plane? Yeah.
I'm scared of flying anyway.
So here's what I think we're looking at here. So we've got the NBA trying to start up, Major League Baseball trying to start up. But what I think is happening now, and I think the rest of this week and next week, it's all going to start to become even more in focus, is the fate of football. The Ivy League is expected to announce today that they're going to cancel their fall sports, including football. Now, the Ivy League, it's not a big deal. To them, these programs are not revenue-producing programs. But it is the first step for college football. There's a lot of people who think that sport needs to just kind of like recalibrate and start in the spring. I'm one of them. I am very, very skittish at the lack of leadership when it comes to education in this state and in this country. I've got a kid who is going to be in fifth grade. I've got a high school senior, and I've got a sophomore in college. Okay, so I'm spanning the spectrum here. And is there a clear path about what we're supposed to be doing with this? It's very frightening because this is coming up very quickly. Arizona, Arizonans go back to school sooner than most of the country.
Yeah.
So we're going to be the first ones into this.
A few weeks away, August, beginning of August.
Well, it used to be they moved that back to August 17th now. The governor has moved that date back to the middle of August, but still, we're going to be among the first states to either go back to school or not go back to school. And there's so little leadership, and it's such an issue that cannot be politicized, because these are our children, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
But you're laughing because there's no way it's not going to be.
No,
right.
Because, yeah, if you're familiar with the world now, every issue is politicized. In any direction.
Well, but I would counter and say that is where we have to be better than that. That is where we, in this state, in this place, at this time, in this moment, we have to demand more from our leaders than that.
If you think it's hard to get a sports league of several hundred people back in action, imagine thousands and thousands of students all in every city, in every state, across the entire country. So I understand it's
so that's fascinating. So college football is just kind of hanging there going, what are we doing?
The college football question I have is that if you don't have a football season, what happens to the people that are on football scholarships?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a million different little details that have to be ironed out as far as that goes. And then the NFL, as you can see now, things are getting a little prickly between players and the game, the league, about, okay, what exactly are we doing? How safe are we going to be? How much are we playing for? It's all starting to cook. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The heat's on 4, but you can tell the pan's starting to get a little hot.
It's starting to pass. Baseball and basketball are starting to pass the baton to football.
Right.
To start, you know, worrying and arguing.
So that's where we're at today. All right, without further ado, Jared Carlin, let's start this train wreck.
The Splash. Splash. The stories making waves in the sports world. The Splash.
All right, the NBA, hopefully we'll have liftoff soon. The Phoenix Suns, with Devin Booker, have reported to Orlando. The WNBA has reported to the IMG Academy. There are varying reports of how happy these players are with their conditions. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear about NBA players complaining about food trays.
I agree. Come
just
on,
stop God. It.
And this is only for 3 days, and then the personal chefs. Once the quarantine ends, they have all their own special personal chefs and all this stuff.
Come on. Let's get real with this. Meanwhile, the Phoenix Suns are already deeply ensconced in playing video games in their hotel room.
DeAndre Ayton brought his own monitor.
Devin Booker had a huge console. Yeah. But you know what? As the parent in me wants to scold them, but the basketball fan in me says, all right, good. You are now going to hunker down. You're going to play basketball and hunker down. So I guess that's all good, right? All right, also in college football, as we mentioned, Jim Harbaugh spoke about college football. Comments that have created a little bit of a stir because they sound like football coach thinking football is more important than anything else. And come on, we've got to play football. What does football have to do with COVID-19? That's basically what he said.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, essentially like football didn't cause COVID-19, so why can't we play football during COVID-19?
Right. And that's kind of what he said, and it's kind of speaking to where exactly is this sport going. And you can only imagine the pressure on both sides. You can only imagine the pressure in some places where college football is 99% of their civic esteem, how important it is for them to play and where that might lead. All right, the NFL players we mentioned earlier, Tom Pelissero tweeted out that the NFL was thinking of potentially putting X amount of dollars from the players into escrow to combat for football with no fans. And that created quite a little fury from players. What's going to happen when these two sides start arguing about money.
Lorenzo Alexander co-hosted with Luke Lipinski this morning.
Oh, what did he say about it?
He essentially like this. Oh, boy. Here we go. They're not going to be happy about that.
Is that what he said?
Essentially, like, here we go.
Okay.
The players will not be happy about
this. All right. Okay, Major League Baseball, as we mentioned, they've got a schedule out. Hopefully, we will get to that point. We've got Bryson DeChambeau, who is suddenly now kind of having to deal with the PED rumors. It was brought up by a writer for Yahoo Sports saying, have we learned nothing from the past? And then Brooks Koepka tweeted out, that character in a roid rage, that guy that, I'm sorry, I should have his name.
Ooh,
you don't know who it is.
I don't know who you're talking about.
You don't know
who it is. Like a movie clip? Character?
I'll figure it out. It's a famous movie guy who reacts in a steroid rage to dispute the fact that he's on steroids. It was that baseball player. It was that sitcom. Man, I can't believe I'm blowing this. All right, don't worry about it. Just stay tuned. Trust me on this. Brooks Koepka took a steroid jab at Bryson DeChambeau. See, I'm telling you, he's threatening to make golf interesting, Carlin.
Yeah, well, I don't know. There's something about, like, you show up looking like the Incredible Hulk and you say, oh, no, 6 protein shakes a day. That's it.
Yeah, right.
Of course, it's very suspicious.
All right, and then finally today.
Kenny Powers.
That's him. Thank you.
I'm looking right at that. Here it is. Yeah. Eastbound and down.
That's what it is. That's what Brooks Koepka tweeted out to kind of, like, needle or further or fuel this sudden storyline.
Uh-huh. No context and no adding or anything.
Nothing.
The gift. Yep.
It's a garbage maneuver.
A subtweet, as they say.
Yeah. Uh-huh. All right. And then finally today, we're going to get into an interesting topic. The topic of asterisks. Will we all accept LeBron James as a 4-time NBA champion if the Lakers win a title in the bubble? It's a fascinating discussion. That and a lot of more cool stuff coming your way. Dan Bickley, Jared Carlin, you're listening to Arizona Sports 98.7 FM.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Murata.
Bickley and Murata. Welcome back, Dan Bickley, Jared Carlin. Jared's got a new Disney song that we are going to roll out at some point today.
Mm-hmm.
So mark your calendars accordingly.
I'll give you a little hint. It's from The Jungle Book.
Okay. Bill Murray as Baloo is one of my favorite Bill Murray roles, believe it or not.
I've never seen the live-action Jungle Book, but I hear it is good.
It was excellent.
Yeah.
It was
Bill Murray is good. That's good casting.
Yeah, I agree.
Much better than his voice role as Garfield in the 2 Garfield movies.
I did see that, and I wouldn't want to. All right, the NBA, the WNBA, they're reporting... and there's creating some interesting visuals. Let's talk a little bit about the Phoenix Suns first. I saw a picture of Devin Booker leaving or going towards a vehicle, and he was carrying a huge video game console. And my first thought was, okay, cool, Devin Booker's there. My second thought was sort of like the way I look at my 10-year-old, where, do you ever go anywhere without that thing? Right? That was my first kind of reaction. And as I said last segment, I kind of like checked myself and thought, no, that's kind of exactly what you want your basketball players to be looking like and thinking about. How do I just kill this time while I'm there? How do I hunker down and just get through this while giving my basketball team everything I have on the court. And I think Devin Booker is going to do that. I'm not going to lie. I did start to worry when his responses via Twitch during video games that, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of, hey, yeah, no, Phoenix, I'm ready to ball out. I'm ready to, you know, get after this.
Yeah, Suns fans, get ready for a run towards the playoffs or something like that.
Yeah, so I wasn't quite certain what D-Book was thinking about things. I feel a little better about that. DeAndre Ayton, he's a little too good at video games for my my comfort level.
Kellen Olsen, you know, on video game watch there, tweeted out last night that DeAndre Ayton won 16 straight games last night on NBA 2K.
Uh-huh.
He brought his own monitor, his own big monitor. There's a picture of him exiting the bus with a big monitor. And I was asking, don't they? They must have TVs at this hotel. But apparently I was told that, well, that doesn't give you the right resolution that you need to properly play video games.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Oh, yeah. Well, they are, to be fair to these guys, they're on 3 days lockdown quarantine before they can do anything.
Right.
So even within the bubble where they're restricted on what they can do, they're even more restricted now. So let them play video games. You know, let them do whatever they
want. Okay, I gotcha. But that whole mindset about, this isn't pixelated enough for me.
Oh,
the resolution isn't good enough for me. No. Yeah. The bigger thing came, I don't know who tweeted out the food that they were consuming.
Yeah, there were several different pictures.
Yeah, there were several different pictures, and it was all kind of players weren't necessarily griping about it, but they were kind of poking fun at, look at how we're having to rough it here. And like I said, I looked at it, and I'm like, man, that looks like a good dinner on an international flight.
It looks okay. It was like,
More than okay.
Yeah, it was like a piece of roasted chicken, mashed potatoes, some pasta salad,
everything
like regular salad. It was like 18 different things. It was all
right. Right, exactly.
And it's not like a gourmet meal, but it was better than like regular room service.
And you just wonder how unaware you have to be to share that, thinking that people are going to go, oh man, you poor guy.
I wonder,
seriously.
I wonder if that was the intent, or it's just literally the fact that that generation of people just shares everything about their life. So they're entering the bubble, and we're going to document everything that's going on. This is what the room looks like. This is what our dinner looks like.
Right.
Because like you said, it wasn't necessarily like they were complaining, like, look how awful everything is here. Like, oh, man. But it also wasn't, you know, there was no reason to post it other than if they weren't trying to get some sympathy.
Some sympathy out of it.
But the general reaction from people was, oh, man, Adam Silver's already blowing it.
He didn't have the chefs ready. Quarantine food.
Right.
Doesn't it strike you as so hypocritical that the players are so worried about safety, but they want, a cafeteria full of chefs?
This is the free food that these millionaires are getting.
I know.
How awful.
Right. And how terrible. Oh, it just drives me nuts. The WNBA, meanwhile, they're staying at the IMG Academy, and there were reports, Jarrett, of a live worm in a hotel room. There was a laundry room that looked kind of sketch.
What is this, in Florida or Sochi?
No, this is not Sochi. They're not in Sochi.
Remember that?
Right. Yeah,
people were posting like there was like a wolf in their hotel room.
So they're calling the WNBA bubble the Wubble. I thought you'd like that.
The Wubble.
They're calling it the Wubble. They're calling it the Wubble, and they're saying it is already a disaster.
Okay, a live worm. Oh, no. Come on. My goodness.
Uh-huh.
It is. I do wonder once the actual bubble, once they're done with the quarantine, once they're done with all this, and once the bubble starts taking to effect, how much complaining there will be. When you take away the fact about the actual playing of basketball, how much they will complain. Because we're seeing that they're going to Instagram story, live tweet, everything that's going on.
Yeah.
I wonder if the NBA will put a lockdown on that and say, we don't want you to document everything that's going on off the court. You're here to play basketball, and that's what we want to see. Can they not do that, you think?
Well, I don't know. It's a great question because, again, this is the NBA. It's all about player liberation and you guys be you.
Have your voice.
Have your voice. Live your life. Show your truth. All that stuff. So I don't know if they would ever get that heavy-handed, but I do think that they would probably like to kind of put a tap on this, right? Don't continually put out visuals of what you believe to be your sacrifice when people are going to look at that and go, "Oh, give me a break."
That's right. Don't mock your five-star hotel accommodations and free food.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if you've ever stayed at some hotels. Some hotels have laundry rooms that can be a little sketch, a little bit frightening.
Laundry rooms?
Uh-huh.
No, I don't think I've ever done laundry in a hotel.
Really?
Never.
Okay.
I usually pack enough clothes for...
Okay. All right, well, in the...
Or don't you could send... You could send, like, your laundry out to get done. You're talking about actually going... This must be...
On my list of things that I avoid like the plague, that's one of them. Having clothes cleaned by a hotel. It will cost
you a fortune. Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
The upcharge on everything is unbelievable. So
I try to never check luggage, ever.
Never check luggage.
So I get
on
real creative with that stuff. I'll have a stuffed backpack.
That's brilliant.
Uh-huh.
See, it's a lot easier, I think, for guys to pack lightly. It feels like we have, I don't know. Even though
we only need one pair of shoes.
One pair of shoes, uh-huh. less pair of pants.
We're not packing cosmetics.
Like, I don't know about you. I wear the same, not in the summer because I'm a sweaty man, but the same shirt or pants I could wear more than once without washing.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, shirt, I don't know if I'd do that.
Really?
Not a big fan of that. I'd wear the same pair of pants a couple times, same pair of shorts a couple of times. Shirts, undergarments, socks, all that stuff's got to be.
So you clearly...
I got to rotate through all that.
You sweat in different areas of your body than I do, I guess.
Well, it's
socks
not,
for sure.
It's not bad. Just putting on the same shirt, like...
Really?
For the second time in 3 days, just feels gross to me.
Well, no, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying wear it two times in 3 days. I'm just saying without having to wash it after wearing it once.
Well, okay.
Because I'm not a very active fella. I don't know if you know that about me, especially in these times.
And so you probably do not wear cologne as well?
I wear cologne when I shave. If I wear aftershave, you know, the splash kind of, oh, it's delicious, delightful, a little burny.
But you don't have a bottle of good cologne that you use to spray kind of your chest area?
No.
Okay.
I wear deodorant.
Well, a lot of guys do.
I shower every morning.
Okay.
I'm not Eric Cohen here.
Okay, but
sakes.
I mean, if you wanted to lightly scent your neck or your chest.
I have it available, but I don't wear it.
Right, exactly. And a lot of guys do that. And if I've got cologne, I haven't had cologne in months. I don't know why I haven't, because I haven't gone shopping in months.
Yeah.
But I would like to do that. And if you do that, then you've got your shirt that you wore is carrying a scent. Then that scent plus the day's wearing kind of gets you off into funkville.
That's an excellent point. You're actually right about that because a smell on your body is good, but a smell that is on your shirt and then stays on your shirt, the cologne does not smell as good 3 days later when it's been sitting in your closet.
Truth. All right, I think we have discovered in that last segment that if the Phoenix, that if they gave an NBA trophy on the best video gaming team, Phoenix Suns would be a dynasty.
Yeah, and now we heard yesterday when we had your lead singer guy on.
Roger Belfiore.
That the Mercury are also great at video games, apparently. Brittany Griner is an expert.
Wow.
So
this got her own YouTube channel. That's right. That's what he told us.
This is quite a market for video games. I guess when it's 130 degrees in the summer, what else can you do but... stay inside and play video games.
It's crazy. All right, coming up on the other side, a big week for college football. Jim Harbaugh speaks out on the sport. What will the Ivy League do? What will it all mean? Where is it going? That is next. Arizona Sports, 98.7 FM. All right, here we are in the second week of July. And we are no closer to knowing anything about the state of college football than we were 3 months ago. Clock is ticking. College football generally gets fired up. Some teams play college football games at the end of August. So we are like right there, and you wonder what is going on, where is this thing is going, and when are they going to make a decision? What forces are going to drive this decision? Who's going to drive the conversation?
I think we always kind of knew that the college sports were going to be the trickiest.
We
as,
did.
As difficult as it was for all the professional sports to figure out return plans, college sports, because one, the athletes are not being paid, so there's almost only so much you could force them to do.
Right.
Two, because you're dealing with not just the sport, you're dealing with the universities surrounding the sports. And there's no, like, czar of the NCAA that's supposed to, like, run everything and guide you.
No, you're right about that. And then you wonder, if you are letting schools and school presidents make these decisions, how unbiased are they? We know one thing that has become pretty clear about college football and college basketball. These schools have kind of leveraged out, and they're missing that money very, very badly. So I don't know if this sport is in position to make decisions from pure hearts.
Well, you saw
they got bills to pay.
Speaking of that, you saw the latest news today. The big news in college sports is that Stanford is eliminating 11 varsity sports.
11 of them. Mostly aquatic-based.
And this is a big deal because Stanford, for the non-traditional, for the non-revenue-generating sports, however you want to, the Olympic sports, they're one of the best in the entire country. And for them to get rid of those sports just shows how broken the model was for so many years.
Especially when their endowment is reported to be $20 to $30 billion. They have the money to pay for this, but they know where this thing is going. This is becoming, so you wonder about the whole financial bubble, not just in college athletics, but in colleges, period. What is about to happen to this whole paradigm? I don't know who's making these decisions. I don't know if they can be trusted. And when you have kids involved, that's a real horrifying situation to be in. That's why, once again, we need some leadership badly in this state on this issue. All right? We in Arizona, we rank number one in COVID right now. I don't know what it is, per capita, whatever it is. But we are the global hotspot.
Yeah. In the world.
Per capita. The global hotspot.
Counting entire countries.
Okay. Now, and then there are the people who say, okay, well, you know what? If we send kids back to school, kids don't get this that much. Right? And if they do, they can get over this and put them all together, and they shouldn't be at home with older people. Have we not seen how kids act when given their freedom, complete freedom in the midst of this? Have we not seen tubing? Have we not seen Old Town Scottsdale? Did the governor not have to implement measures on those very activities?
People were, some certain teens that were literally having coronavirus parties.
Yes, yes, yes. I read a story out of Alabama, of course, last week where they were having COVID parties. Everybody threw money into a pot, and the first person to come down with it won the money. Okay, so what's going to happen if you bring 40,000, 50,000 people back on campus? You think these kids are going to stay in, or are they going to go to parties? What do you think? So my question becomes, if we know that, then what? Is that really smart to open that up? Because you can't have football players playing football if you don't open up the schools, right? Well, do you agree on that?
Yeah. Well, that'd be ridiculous. If you have a football season with no school, you have a college football season with no college, that doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
You mentioned in the splash Jim Harbaugh's comments from today. This is via the Detroit Free Press. Free Press. He said, COVID is part of our society. It wasn't caused by football or caused by sports. There's no expert view right now that I'm aware of that sports is going to make that worse. It's part of our society. We're going to have to deal with it.
Meaning, bring it on. Let's play football. Okay. That's a viewpoint. But is that really what should be going on right now?
Also, isn't there, there are expert views that say that sports would make it worse, I'm pretty
well,
sure.
Well, it depends. I mean, if you allow fans into the stands, if you allow football players to, if these football players are going to parties and living lives, then yes, of course it's going to make things worse. Why wouldn't it? Why wouldn't and all those kids gathering at the Salt River made things worse? I'm quite certain.
And let's face it also that the pro sports, you know, have access to a lot more tests, the ability to test these players every day, mm-hmm. in theory, MLB, I'm talking, looking at you. But can college football, would they have the ability to test their players every day? Could they do that in good conscience and the university say, like, the rest of you students, you won't have access to all these tests like these college football players will because they're more important.
Well, and yeah, you're right about that too. And then you get back down to the idea that if you decide to not send kids back to school, and I don't care what grade you're talking about now, why would you do a measure like that and still keep your economy half open? That doesn't make sense either. And once again, it's just the lack of committing to one singular pathway that is just maddening in all of this.
I mean, the problem also is, can you even commit to one pathway when every state is different right now?
I don't. Listen, and this is kind of the thing that is and I don't know when they think they're going to get around to this decision, because they're kind of slow rolling everything into this. And I know this from having a daughter in college. All right, she is supposed to move into a place in about a month. Now, does that make sense for her to go and do that if everything gets moved online in terms of classes? Right now, there's a blend. And so I think it's derelict of universities to put kids and parents in these situations of, okay, we're moving you in, and then maybe a week later they make everything online. Well, what's the sense of having kids in housing when the schooling's online?
Well, ask the kids that. I think the sense is we get away from our parents.
Well, of course it is.
There's more to the...
Of course it is, but then they're doing that because they want their lives back.
But that's it. There's more to the college experience to them than just attending class.
As there should be. As there should be. And that's why this whole thing, when I talk about the college bubble being burst, this is what I'm talking about. People who are sending their kids to Harvard, they're being asked to spend $50,000 for online schooling.
Right.
Zoom teaching. I'm sorry, it doesn't work. It's not effective.
It's not the same.
It's not the same. It's an alternative, but it's not the same. So people are going to go, I'm not paying that. And I'm not going to say, you're going to see an unprecedented number of kids taking gap years. This whole college bubble, this whole thing could burst. Boom! Because of all of this. And nobody can get their heads around, how do you solve this? How do you create a plan that keeps kids safe? In the midst of all this, it's good luck.
I did just come up with an idea, though.
You did?
If in this new model, you don't even have to go to Harvard. You just have to know someone who goes to Harvard. And all of a sudden, you pack like four of you into a room and you watch all the lectures, get the Harvard education the same way.
Right. Well, Rex Chapman said, don't worry about it, man. Just get some stimulus money and pay somebody to take your SAT. It's all good.
Yeah.
I'm kidding, of course. It's a mess. So yeah. The Ivy League is supposed to come down with something today about what they're going to do, and it's going to be something. It's going to represent a philosophy or a belief, and Division I schools that are involved in the bowl in the college football playoff. I almost called it the BCS in the college football playoff. It doesn't apply to them because in the Ivy League, football programs are not what they are to Clemson and ASU and other schools.
Yeah,
it's
SEC.
Not revenue-wise, they're not that important. So the Ivy League can do things like that. Other schools, we're going to see. I think with all of this craziness, the smart thing to me is to come up with a spring-fall combo next year. Just buy yourself some time.
I don't know. I think that this is just going to turn all of college sports on its head, and nothing will ever. It's one of those long overdue things that it was a broken model and a broken system,
right?
And this is just leading to necessary but tough and unfortunate change. I mean, all the college football, college sports people, the Pat Fortys, the Dennis Dodds of the world right now,
mm-hmm.
are reacting to this Stanford news. And they're saying, like, I know you guys don't, most people don't care about all the sports they're getting rid of, but these are so many coaches that are losing their jobs, so many college, you know, athletes that are losing their scholarships, stuff like this. So it's a huge trickle-down effect. Just the lack of college football, how much effect this could have on the rest of an entire university.
I know. Yeah, and those sports are never coming back. Yeah, that's incredible, right? All right, coming up on the other side, what does it mean for the NFL? We'll get into that next. Dan Bickley with a little bit of Jared Carlin. You're listening to Arizona Sports 98.7 FM.
Bickley and Marotta.
Modern technology can record the voice of the people with the utmost precision.
You're insane.
Oversensitive.
You're insane.
I'm insane?
You're insane. You're insane.
You're a weird guy, Ace. Weird guy.
Bickley and Marotta. 98.7 FM. Arizona's sports station.
And today, the economics started to come into focus as another issue that these sides are going to be working through. I am told that the NFLPA informed the Board of Representatives in a call this afternoon that the NFL has proposed escrowing 35% of players' salaries throughout the 2020 season to account for some costs and potential lost revenue because of COVID-19. Now, how was the union responding to that? Don Davis, one of the union executives, said in a call with all players a short time ago, basically, we told them to kick rocks.
The new phrase in the NFL, yeah. Kick rocks.
Yeah, I have a feeling that wasn't the term they used, but kick rocks.
Yeah.
You can go jump off a boat.
Jump off a boat?
To go jump in the
Take
lake.
Take a long walk off a short bridge,
there
that
you
kind
go.
Of
That's
thing,
it,
or
yeah.
short pier. Yeah, okay. Kick rocks is now the new kind of battle cry, if you will, for the NFL players.
That's their when and where?
It is, yeah. That's
Hashtag
right. That's exactly what it is.
Kick rocks.
Kick rocks. And I wonder what this is all about. Do you think the NFL just said, okay, you know what? Let's put our toe in that water. Let's see exactly what that water feels like.
It's something that we should have seen coming, I guess, based on the other sports. But we never really thought that.
But
like,
isn't the NFL supposed to be learning from other sports?
Especially because, as we pointed out, they only are losing 8 games worth of revenue. They're not losing 81 games worth of revenue like baseball. You were hoping that it wouldn't come to this.
Okay, but you're also talking in some places 80,000+ people.
True.
Okay. So the number can be sizable, but it's certainly nothing the NFL should get hung up on. But you're right, so proceed.
I think that maybe like us, for the longest time, until very recently, the NFL thought they could come back with fans. At least 50%
okay.
capacity
or
something.
They still do, Jarrett. This morning, the Kansas City Chiefs released a statement saying they will have reduced capacity seating this coming season.
Yeah, somebody just got the bill for that Patrick Mahomes contract. Yeah. Like, oh, no. Wait a minute.
That's exactly what happened.
We're paying him what? Yeah. You know they're not going to go for it. The players, we've already seen this happen in other sports. They don't want to get paid less than what they... especially because they're going to be playing a full season, unlike all these other sports, in theory.
The reaction to that Tom Pelissero tweet and that report, the idea of 35% in escrow, it sparked exactly the kind of reaction on social media that you might think. Right from Michael Thomas, Saints wide receiver, saying, listen, we'll sit. If you mess with it at all, we are going to sit.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Quandre Diggs of the Seahawks. This is a new thing courtesy of Marshawn Lynch. I want all my chicken. Chicken is now,
of course,
synonymous with money.
Absolutely. Unless it's the chicken at the NBA hotels.
And then it's not. Then it's most certainly not money.
Here's another Tom Pelissero cut.
Let's be clear now. Because you are going to have a potential revenue loss that could escalate to $4 billion if there are no fans in the stands this season, that needs to be made up. There is a true-up in the CBA where you'd have to make up for that on future salary caps starting in 2021. From the union's perspective, they would love to spread that over an 11-year CBA, spread out until 2030. Obviously, the NFL is thinking about cost savings right now. They have a lot to work through here with players scheduled to begin reporting to training camps in just a couple of weeks.
All right. Once again, for the 10th time, I have said this from the very beginning, that if I've learned anything from Major League Baseball, and if I know anything about football, the NFL is, they're going to get this thing sideways if they mess with players' chicken.
Don't touch the chicken.
Don't touch the chicken. That just... You can cut down the portion of the wild rice,
yes,
the asparagus, even though Jarrett,
I love,
enjoys
asparagus.
It.
Seriously.
Right, right.
I love that, to eat it, and then what an unusual thing. And it's just tremendous. I love it. I really do. And it's very weird that I love it, but
no,
I do.
No, listen. When asparagus is grilled and seasoned properly, it can be phenomenal.
Absolutely. You ever have it with Parmesan cheese?
Yes.
Oh, my
yes,
God.
Yes, that's delicious.
Or you ever saute with a little balsamic vinegar?
That's what I'm talking about. Oh, sometimes you do a little of both.
Yeah, and then you remember you ate it the next day.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And I can imagine that it causes you just great
a smile
joy
on my face.
Yes,
like,
it
oh,
does.
Yeah, this is
yes,
so weird.
Yes, it does. That's pretty, should be pretty obvious to everyone. If the NFL wants this to go off, if the NFL wants to somehow pull this off, then I think that they can't have the mindset that everything is going to bend to our will. And that is exactly what the NFLPA used in his open letter. So he knows what's coming. He wrote it in an open letter. Now comes this report of a potential escrow. I think this must have been the NFL putting a toe in the water, saying, let's see what the reaction to this might be.
What a surprising reaction, huh?
Yeah. Yesterday during our show, RG3 tweeted out that the NFL canceled all of the preseason. I did not see that anywhere else.
No, I think it's just sort of, I don't think that was an official statement. I think he was sort of projecting that that's what's
going to
happen.
Did you see the tweet?
He said sources tell me or something.
Right.
Let me go look at it.
All right. So I think that the NFL, they've got to know this right up front, and that is you might be able to get NFL players to fly into cities as long as they're not cross the country the day of the game. You might be able to save money in any number of ways, but if you start messing with their salaries, you are not going to have a football season. You're just not.
So here is the exact quote. Sources say there will be no preseason this year. And the way I read that is he's just sort of saying this is the way things are trending.
Okay. All right. Okay. I kind of thought maybe he knew something, but clearly that wasn't the case because that went no place after that. I just think that the NFL now has got to look this in the face and understand what they're dealing with here.
I mean, two tweets later, Robert Griffin III said, is money more important than human life?
See, okay, how about this? Bruce Arians said something remarkable yesterday in more conversations with the media. He said, quote, the players, they're all going to get sick. That's for sure. It's just a matter of how sick they get. That's quite a statement.
Yeah. Baby.
That's quite a statement when you think about it.
Well, when you do think about all these, the athletes that have tested positive so far for mm-hmm. coronavirus, for COVID-19, very few of them have gotten really sick. In fact, not.
Right.
And that everyone was saying, like, that's the other shoe that's going to drop, is when a player has to go to the hospital because they're so sick, because they actually show a lot of symptoms. That's the other shoe that's going to drop and is going to make it a lot harder to play through the pandemic rather than wait it out.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But what Bruce Arians is saying is, all right, if you do not have a bubble, and the NFL will not have a bubble, and one of your offensive linemen has it, and maybe it hasn't manifested itself, then that entire offensive line, the entire defensive line, they're going to be in scrums together. It's going to be all over the place. Then you're going to be huddling up. Guys are going to be breathing heavy. And it's going to be, yeah, it's going to be a Petri dish. And so the NFL, once again, I'm going to implore them, be smart about this. Get your players to accept and sign off on the risk and don't mess with their chicken. Just give them full salaries regardless of what happens to the revenues. It's not going to happen?
It's not going to happen.
Well,
I mean, I hope it happens, but
this is not the NFLPA from 20 years ago.
That's true.
This is the NFLPA in the midst of a player empowerment movement in sports that started with LeBron James' decision, and that was happy anniversary, by the way, right?
Yes, 10-year anniversary.
Okay, that anniversary is significant for that very reason. The age of empowerment, the age of athletes going, you know what? I'm taking care of me. That started with the decision. Not started, but that was fueled by LeBron James' decision, and the anniversary is today. So there's that. That made them stronger inherently. Then you've got the fact that we're in the midst of a civil rights movement. Black Lives Matter. The NFL is 70% African American. They are going to carry the torch for that movement stronger and harder than any other professional sport. Throw all of that together and you've got a union and a membership that is not going to budge for anybody for anything. I guarantee you that. I can guarantee you that. So if the NFL wants to test that, they're going to go right down that same path that Rob Manfred and Tony Clark did.
We saw it, the first step yesterday with the open letter from the J.C. Treader. It's such a weird name.
Go ahead.
Also, this studio that I'm in, it's set up so ridiculously that the monitor is on one side of the room and the microphone's on the other side. And my eyes are terrible, so I can't really blame them for that. But I'm always having to look over here. Every day, we no matter what happened with baseball, what happened with basketball, what happened with hockey, what happened with college sports, for 4 months we always had the NFL. The NFL is going to be fine. We're so excited. Look at the draft, the free agency. What the Cardinals are doing. They're not playing till the fall. We don't have to worry about them.
Listen.
This week has all been about worrying about them.
And a reminder that I have never been more excited about a football season in my life than I am about this one in 2020. With all of the big-time player movement, the marquee players with chips on their shoulders, year two of a potential franchise quarterback in Arizona, something we've never seen before. I know the stakes. Yeah, I'm with you on that. All right, coming up on the other side, LeBron James. Say he wins a title in the bubble. Are we going to asterisk that, or is he going to become a four-time champion? Fascinating discussion next on Arizona Sports 98.7 FM.